Well, it's I have no major news. I will start with that. I have no major news. We are not expecting, so I'm not a dynasty dad to be. It's just original Commish Daddy and I chopping it up for a bit while we wait for the other dynasty dad to set away his dad duties for a minute and come
Yeah,
chat. Commish, what's top of mind
exactly.
for you?
Well, you are the pod father, so in a way, you're like an honorary father figure dad, right?
Fantastic. I'll take that. I like that role.
That works. That works.
Yeah, that
Well,
works for me.
anyways, appreciate you setting this up, and once Eli gets done with his daddy duties, we'll continue on. But I was just telling you off air that I'd been listening to your podcast from tonight on. So I don't know when we'll drop this, maybe in the next couple of days, but this week's podcast, and really, really enjoyed it. But yeah, you've got some interesting decisions looking at your lineup. It seems like you are going to go for it, and you are going to try to compete this week. Is that the plan?
Yeah, that's the plan. The boys roped me into it
Yeah.
against my original judgment. I can't even say better judgment, just my original. I'm going for it. And JSN caught that touchdown.
Okay, so yeah, I've been driving, so I haven't seen it, but I'm looking at his stat line and see no TDs, so you got overruled.
Was a 29-yard touchdown that was ruled incomplete because the ball hit the ground even though it didn't move. But he caught a PI on the call, so they got it first and goal from the one and threw it to DK instead.
Oh, because
So
you got
that
sharps
was
too, and they don't
great.
give it to
Yeah.
the
That
other.
was horrible.
Brutal,
Well, there's like 7
brutal.
seconds left in the second half, so they weren't going to run it with no timeouts and risk not getting it in and not being able to run another play. So they're going to
Yeah,
throw it
exactly.
to their tight end size wide receiver instead. So
Why not? Why not?
why
All
not?
right.
Go Chris. Go
Well,
Chris.
I'm looking at your lineup, and I want to give you a chance to either roster bait or commiserate, but I see you've got lots of hope with Charbonnet and JSN, your two Seattle Seahawks that were both first rounders, right? I know JSN was, but Sharps was like a late first for you,
Sharps
right?
was a mid, or yeah, Sharps was 112 for me.
Okay.
So
Which I
you
think
take.
you got from me in the A-Rich, well, I guess what was ultimately the Bijan deal, right?
Yeah, so I got that from you, and then I also had
Okay.
Evan Engram from you as well.
Yeah, which I know you flipped, and you got what did you just get, a second for him?
I got Terry.
Oh yeah.
Terry, a second, and Mims. And Mims
Just
is.
for Evan?
Yeah, maybe it was Evan in a third. I think I kicked him in 25.
Wow.
I think
Okay.
it was DFT's third and 25 that I kicked him or something like that. He can correct me if I'm
Nice.
wrong. So, dude, I don't
Yeah,
know.
that's what it was. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, my team has been like Lawrence is a second half quarterback, so he's a second half quarterback one. I think pretty much that's what he is now. Is he refuses to play any football, any meaningful fantasy football in September or October, and he waits until middle of November to really put it on, which is like fine for a real life quarterback, but it blows for me because Bryce Young has been horrible. He's
So
been
I wanted
a
to ask you,
curse
Bryce,
from the
like,
start.
so looking at your lineup, and maybe your lineup's changed a bit throughout the year, but like looking at the guys you have, like there a couple names stand out to me. First of all, you mentioned Bryce, and like I'm sure you think about it, but like how different your season would have been and Canute's season had you
Oh my
drafted
God.
Stroud instead of Young.
I know.
Like, do you think you're a playoff team with CJ Stroud?
Yes,
Like,
I'm a
does
playoff team. I'm a playoff team with. Oh no, I'm not a playoff team because the rest of my position players have still been horrible. Like even Breece from the beginning of the year has been a running back two, maybe. Like I think he's running back 20 on the season. So it's like, okay, that's granted he's coming back from injury, but he was a piece I was really planning on
Yep.
being a solid 15 to 18 points a game.
Yep.
And so
And
it's like,
then
okay. I can't blame Rodgers for going down, but at the same time, that does factor into it. Absolutely.
totally, totally.
So that's horrible.
So you at minimum aren't staring down the barrel of waffles
Oh,
with being a Stroud boy.
God. God, no.
And then Pitts, you know, this is the first time on this week's podcast where I heard you finally maybe loosen your grip ever so slightly. You said I'm done with him, and then you said, but I can't let him go. So
Right.
I think the steam has obviously cooled off significantly. I think I was after
Rightfully,
him for like
rightfully
three
so.
firsts.
Rightfully
I was trying to
so.
pay so much for him this offseason, and hindsight, I'm glad I didn't. But like,
Dude.
what's his price today? And I can't buy him, but like,
Right.
what's he worth to you now? And like, what's the, if you remember, like the best offer that you turned down for him?
Oh my God. I think the best offer I probably turned down for him was the mul like the what was it? Three firsts for Pitts and a second or something weird like that from you.
Yeah, I
And I
know I
think
was three firsts at one point when I had 10 of them.
yeah, and I was yeah, at that point I don't even know. I think I don't trust myself drafting, and so the times that I do trade for firsts, I'm like, I'm not going to trade. I don't know what it is. I Fantasy football philosophy befuddles me most of the time. I don't really know what to think, and I keep oscillating back and forth. What I would take for him now, a first this year. Genuinely, I would take a first this year for Kyle Pitts, most likely. Depending,
A
like,
late
I would
24
not take
first.
a late. I would need a pick that I would assume would be 107 or like no later than 108 or 109.
Yeah.
Like the
I
talent
mean,
and the quarterbacks are going to be first round talent, and I think there's going to be talent that's going to creep into the mid half of the first round.
oh yeah, everybody's talking about this class being similar to last year, like a ton of depth through the first and even, early parts of the second round. So
Yeah.
I've not scouted much because I don't hold those picks, but there are some names you can't ignore, and then there's, fantasy Twitter and podcast world that
I
are just
also
geeking out
refuse to
about the class.
believe. I also refuse to believe that they would either A, tag him or B, sign him, like pick up his fifth year option as a rookie. And he's going into his fourth year next year. And so whether or not he would get traded middle of the season or before the season, or I am keeping that as an
Yeah.
option for him in real life and saying, all right, this season's already a wash. So for me, realistically, I'm trying to figure out going into 2024 because I still believe in the talent. I'm not saying Kyle Pitts is a bad tight end. I believe like he's a great tight end, but he's so, I don't know, I misused or doesn't play the way he's coached to play. One of the issues, it's either between his head or they're choosing not to focus and prioritize him.
Yeah,
And something's got to
I
give
lean the
at some
latter.
point. Something's got to give.
Yeah, hopefully that's Arthur Smith's job. Like
God, no,
I
but
can't imagine he's the GM. I don't know who the GM is there, but like the way that they've built that team and the first round capital they've sunk into skill players on offense to not utilize them is just baffling. Like
you feel it?
yeah, I mean everybody sees it too. So it's like I don't understand how the GM who's picking these players, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, clearly they need a quarterback still, but
Clearly,
you're
they
investing.
have the offensive line. They have the offensive line to be dominant on offense
Yep,
because they're clearly effective on the run with a nobody at quarterback.
Well, they led the league in rushing with Cordarrelle Patterson as their running back last year, and like
Right.
I don't know if he was undrafted or super late round Tyler Allgeier. Like, yeah, they can get it done. So, like, I don't know if I'm the GM, if I'm Coach Arthur Smith's boss, and I give him all these pieces and he refuses to use them in the way that they're like best used. Like, I just don't get it. And like, maybe it's because they're finding ways to like win toss up games in the worst division in football,
Yeah.
but I just don't understand how that guy has a job.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, they're winning games and that you're not gonna fire a guy who's getting it done in the ugliest way possible. Ugly and effective is better than pretty and ineffective. I don't know. It's just what? God, it's horrible. Like, would you rather be just casually a fan of the Chargers where your team like offensively looks like it kind of can do something but just can't win, or the Falcons where your offense looks ridiculously inept at times, and yet you're winning and you're 6-1.
I don't know, man. I think I'd rather have fun games and be frustrated with
That's what
losses
I'm
than just
saying. That's
terrible.
what I'm saying.
Like, if every Vikings game was like this last Monday Nighter against the Bears, like,
Oh my God.
I even if we had won that game, like, I don't want to watch that game again.
No. And that's what I was telling Kate when we scored. I was like, this is the worst feeling win of all time.
Yeah, it was
This
so
feels like
ugly.
this
I
feels
remember, yeah,
horrible.
we got into the end zone. I'm like, well, good. Finally, we did what we've been like supposed to do all game. We can finally close this out. And then, of course,
Of
the
course. The
like, I'm numb to this pain feeling of, yeah,
defense.
absolutely, they are going to march down this field and get their fourth field goal of the
Of
game. And
course.
yeah,
Course. Boys.
brutal.
Whoa,
Hey, Daddy, what's
Daddy.
up?
Hey, Daddy's home. Hi. What's up,
Daddy!
man? I've been listening to you for a while, so I'm a little caught up. Sounds like a lot of Pitts talk.
Yeah.
Let me say one final thing about my roster in general. Yeah, I didn't even think twice about CJ potentially instead of Bryce. I was locked in on Bryce, and that was a mistake.
Wait, say
Well,
that again? you win some, you lose some.
No. I didn't even consider CJ Stroud at 103 in the rookie draft this year, and that was a mistake.
Oh, I don't know, dude. I don't think it, I thought it was a no-brainer. I remember trying to trade Canute for that pick. Like, I'll take Stroud. I told him,
Right.
like, I'm gonna take Stroud, but I don't have much faith in him, so I don't blame you either.
Yeah. All right. Well,
Hard not to helmet scout Buckeye quarterbacks and be just a little bit gun shy, but
yeah.
he's
Win
so
some, you
far
lose
breaking the
some.
mold. Yeah, like Treylon Burks, the last guy I wanted to ask you about, Pete, because that's another guy that you could have sold for a nice little tag at the beginning of the year. And like, what's going on? Has he just been hurt all year?
He's been hurt all year. He got concussed pretty bad and was out 3 weeks and had also dealt with I think it was a shoulder earlier in the year.
Okay. Well,
If Levis can be their quarterback, and if they don't, and if they move on from Derrick Henry, I'm excited to see what the Titans can be from a passing perspective next season. I'm intrigued.
yeah, I mean, having just traded him away, I hope he just eats rocks and is terrible. But yeah, if he's anything like the week one Levis that threw
Was
four
wild.
touchdowns, like, I'm gonna regret this trade huge. And if he's anything like the last 3 or 4 weeks where he's like one combined touchdown, I'll be very happy that
Static.
I paid up and got a guy that could help me win this year. So anyways,
All
yep.
right, dads, go talk about Kyler and all the fun things. Excited to listen.
All right, man.
All
Thanks, man.
right. Bye.
Thanks. See ya. Welcome, Eli. We're recording. We're live, so we just get to hop right into it here.
Nice, dude. Yeah, I say it was fun. I've been listening to you guys for the last few minutes here. I just got set up down in my basement. I got the game on the TV. I've got some stuff pulled up. I got a little bit of sipping whiskey here, a little Forrester as a gift. I've been
Nice.
appreciating it here. So yeah, man, I'm just down in a little man cave, kind of looking at a Cowboys cheerleader right now. Here we go, 28-20 right now. Seahawks are up, crazy. So, but we don't need to talk too much about that. I'll maybe something's exciting, I'll jump on it. But I'm excited to talk about this league, dude. We have got it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time to be playoff bound, and it's an exciting time for some of these guys at the bottom. Just like probably scrolling and looking at their, just looking at the letters that say first 2024 first round pick.
Yeah, and then there's teams like Mark Fierst who are going to miss the playoffs, have limited draft picks, and are still trying to prevent challengers from taking the bye week away from the reigning champ.
Yeah, I say, I know we were just talking to another guy in this league who's probably pretty down at times, but that's fantasy football, man. We all have those times where we're kicking ourselves for mistakes we've made, but so much of this stuff is guessing, and that's what makes it fun, is sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you miss on four in a row and you feel like you're never going to make it back to the middle of the pack, let alone the top. But Pete will be back. Mark will be back. He's doing just fine. And I mean, who knows what would have happened if he would have had this team from the very beginning of the year. I know he's kind of been building, so.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, at the beginning of the year, we all were projecting Mark to win like one game and just be the shoe-in for Waffles unless he had tanking competition. So he certainly made the most out of what he was able to this year. Just doesn't seem like enough, and it seems like it will stunt future competitiveness a little bit more. So can't fault the guy for trying, and I'm just being a little extra salty because I want a free pass to my first round bye without having to sweat anything this weekend. So anyways, yeah, I'll hopefully take care of business no matter what, but yeah, man.
Yep. Absolutely. So let's see. So we could talk about 101 watch, kind of see what's going on in our league as far as pick 101 goes and the drafts around that. You want to kind of start with that, or do you want to talk about some couple of trades that have happened? That's usually where we start out.
No, why don't we do 101 watch and then we can get into trades. And I should ask, because the Podfathers just dropped a podcast. We're recording this on Thursday night, so they dropped their podcast a couple hours ago. Have you listened to it yet? Because I just finished it.
Okay, good. Then you can kind of stop me, or
okay. So if you haven't listened to it, I'll steer you out of having the same exact conversation they had. But I can obviously add a little personal flavor to the biggest trade of the week here. And let's talk about 101 watch. What do you got?
Excellent. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward. I'll listen to that pod probably tomorrow morning. So, 101 watch right now. We've got, again, I'm sure it's been talked about, but yeah, so I'll be quick. Pete at the bottom, Josh owns his pick. Then there's Sam. Jeremy owns his pick. Jeremy owning his own pick. Josh with Pete owns that pick. And then it's Dan. Jeremy owns that pick. Mark, Pete owns that pick. So right now, as it stands, that's where we're at. Going into next week, it doesn't look like much will change. If the only game that I noticed that can really change anything is the game with Josh versus Canute. Was that talked about at all? And with Pete?
What do you mean Josh versus Canute? They're playing this week?
Yeah. So right now it looks like it's pretty much locked in. With those first three picks, if I'm speaking correctly here, it looks like because Pete's at the very bottom with six, it doesn't look like he's getting out of that many victory points. He's not getting.
Yeah, the guys talked about that a little bit, basically, and you can confirm this. It sounds like Pete needs to outscore Sam by 24 points or something like that over the rest of the way, and have Sam get no VPs and Pete sneak a win out like and get top half next week or something like that. So it seems like a long shot for a team that's underperformed all year, but I think there's still enough of a path that he's trying, because at the start of today, third of Thursday, he was planning to tank to try to lose to prop up Matt to help some of like the other picks he owns. So anyways, it's a long shot, but I think there's still a chance that he's not the 101 last place finisher. And obviously that pick going to, you said Josh, right?
Yeah, yep, exactly. There's a very
very, very likely it is going to be Josh. And then I think they highlighted that Jeremy currently situated at what would be picks 2, 3, and 5, as well as a couple of playoff first rounders next year. Which is a pretty place to be.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the most likely scenario by a pretty long shot. So it looks right now like it'll be, Josh at 101, Jeremy at 102, Jeremy at 103, Pete at 104, Jeremy, and then Pete again. So the only real thing, so if Josh wins this week, that is what would put Josh at 12 victory points instead of 10, which would push him ahead of Dan, who's playing me this week. And I mentioned in the chat, Texas Dan's lineup is not good this week. So He's not gonna be no. He's not gonna be in the top half of scoring. He's not gonna beat me. So he's stuck at 11. I'm also kind of just assuming that the mug week also nothing changes. I think that the top half of this league is so top heavy that these bottom teams are not going to take over unless, you know, Jeremy decides to put in his full lineup or something like that. But I don't see that happening. I don't think they want to lose their spots. So I guess I didn't look into it that much as far as if they do put in real lineups, the tankers. But assuming that the top half wins out and the bottom half doesn't, the only thing that would affect it is Josh, if Josh beats Canute this week. So that's really the only game to watch this week as far as game.
So let's talk about Josh and Jeremy being most likely the holders of the top three and four of the top five picks. Jeremy still has arguably the best quarterback duo in the league. Maybe Chris with Mahomes and Lamar. Maybe shouldn't say maybe. That's maybe you could argue that one fairly easily. But sure. Allen and Herbert still up there. I tried like mad to pry either one of them away before I sold for Kyler. He's holding very tight. So I expect he's rolling into the season with those two guys as his quarterbacks. And then Josh being the recipient of the quarterback trade that was made today means that he goes into next year with Deshaun Watson, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, and I think he traded Geno, right? So like he's playing DeVito, but that's not something he's going to count on. But like point is he's got two good, potentially high upside quarterbacks, Levis has some depth. So both those guys are well situated from a QB room standpoint, but in Superflex, if they keep the picks, you've got some really strong quarterback prospects at the top of this draft. Can they afford not to take the best player available, even if it means that they would just be drafting depth and they both have tons of other roster holes that need filling?
Yeah, good question. I say with that trade today by Josh, it almost seems like he is going that way and going away from the quarterbacks in that draft spot. I mean, and it's possible that he trades it for a better player, but I tried getting it out of Josh, not so I could share it on the podcast, just so I could know for myself. And I was curious about who he'd pick, but he wouldn't tell me, which is fine because now I can speculate. I think that at that one, if he has it, I think he's going Marvin Harrison Jr. because, yeah, like you said, he traded Kyler, who I think Kyler's one of those guys where when you've had him on your team for this whole like ordeal with the injury and just, you know, he's been kind of a whiner there in Arizona and not really knowing if they're, I don't know. It just seems like it's been a mess and kind of a headache if you've been an owner of him. So I wonder if he kind of got tired of that and just said, here, take him. I'll take the fresh blood with A. Richardson and roll with that and then go draft some top skill players. And I'm one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah. Well, between Kyler and Deshaun Watson, who's like maybe even a worse example of like just having to deal with so much crap, like just that. Like such highs early in the, you know, went to the championship game, looked like he had the two of the top five dynasty quarterbacks and then basically lost them both for extended periods of time. Man, it's just been a roller coaster for him. So yeah, I get it. I get why he might want to just shake things up, but yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've heard people obviously mention Marvin Harrison Jr.'s name at the top of the draft, but given our league format, I'd sure think that he could trade down and still get him for somebody that'd be really QB hungry. But hey, if it's like you really want your guy and we think that it's going to be a Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson type of a player, would you not take them over, well, Bryce Young, who was, you know, a top pick this year? But okay, hindsight, yes. But would you want Justin Jefferson over C.J. Stroud? And it's hard to say J.J. because he is legitimately the number one, you know, wide receiver and non-quarterback player in all of Dynasty. So maybe that's not the best comparison. But a Jalen Waddle or a top-tier wide receiver, I don't know. Like, it's just so hard because when a quarterback hits, they are – like, there's nothing more valuable – in a super flex. And like, that's why I drafted Levis at 10 over a guy like Zay Flowers, because if Levis did what Stroud is doing, like it would have been the best possible expected outcome that we could hope for. And obviously he looked really good one game and then looked so some other games. Who knows what his future holds, but like point is, it's really hard to pass up on like true elite quarterback upside. So when you're at the top of the draft and have a chance to get one of those cornerstone guys, Josh's is where it's most interesting for me, because Jeremy has two unquestionable studs that he can play and start in two QB eligible positions for as long as this league lives.
Well, here, put it this way. Josh basically just got 101 in our draft from last year. So if let's say he actually drafted Richardson and didn't just trade him, we'd probably be having the conversation of, well, he just drafted a quarterback. He just drafted him number one. What does he need to go pick another number one for if he's got Deshaun Watson sitting there? So I don't know. We could probably discuss this for a lot longer, but I definitely see a scenario that he just says, pull up Bill Belichick picking some offensive lineman out of Chattanooga in the first round that no one had anywhere near their first round mark, and just being Bill Belichick doing whatever he wants. I could see Josh doing that, be like, no, I'm going to take the receiver. I don't care. I've got quarterbacks. I don't need one. Go ahead. You can take the rookie. Because,
he'll trade Richardson or Watson, do something else and be able to, draft a quarterback for need and then have a ton of other, like, yeah, it'd be very interesting to see what happens. Yes. Should those guys hold their picks close to the draft? So, it's fun to speculate.
Yeah, he may be planning to draft Marvin Harrison Jr., but he hasn't had all these trade offers rolling in yet. And come June, he's probably going to have some really sweet offers sitting in his inbox, so he might even change his mind. He doesn't know it yet. But, hey, one fact I wanted to put down is worst-case scenario for the league, but best-case scenario for Jeremy, he could have pick 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, and 9. So you can chew on that, but that's worst-case scenario.
7, 8, and 9? Wait,
yeah, because he's got
your six
and Dan Krause, I believe.
I think the guys were saying he had 5 in the first. He has 6 in the first next year.
Yeah, I believe so. Let me. I've got it right here. I think he has. Yeah, I think he has 6. He's got 2, 3, possibly 4. Right now it's 5, and then he's got mine, yours, and Dan Krause's. I believe here he is. Yours, mine, and Dan Krause's. Sam's. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So holy just smokes. To read real quick, he's got Jonathan.
Half the first round.
Yes, he's got Jonathan. So he's got Kamish, mine, Texas Dan, Sam, his own, and Dan Krause's. So yeah, he's got
all,
6.
All in 24.
Yeah, and if the playoffs went perfectly for him and Ben eventually lost, he could have 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9.
That's insane. Good for you, Jeremy. I mean, I think I said it in somewhere in our group chat, but I was looking at Jeremy's roster to encourage him to go full tilt against Ben this week. And it was the first time I'd really studied his roster since he's traded so much away, to realize how much he has stripped down. I mean, he really has very few pieces remaining. And this is a team that was the just juggernaut and should have won back-to-back seasons, end of the league, and had guys sitting on his bench every week that half the league would have played as starters. And so all those picks are great. I'm the most recent example of somebody who blew it up and I had 10 first-round picks. But, like, he's got a hit on the majority of those picks to be a real competitor. I won't say to compete, because with Allen and Herbert, you can make the playoffs if you just roll out a starting lineup otherwise. But he's really got a hit on a lot of those picks to get back to, like, contender status, in my opinion. Because, I mean, I'm sure I'm going to miss somebody, but, like, outside of Allen and Herbert, like, Deontay Johnson is a name that sticks out. And there might be like one other guy that's like worth even mentioning, but do you have his roster up in front of us by chance?
Yeah. What'd you say?
Can you pull up his roster? I mean, is there anything else that he's got, like, from a player standpoint that would, like, likely be around and in his lineup mix for next year?
Besides JJ and those quarterbacks?
Oh, JJ, of course. I'm missing JJ. Yeah. So yeah, the, three elite top 10 dynasty assets. That's a it's a really good core, plus, you know, a couple other top-tier draft picks, no doubt.
Yep. So he's got Deontay Johnson. He's got – and then he's got JJ. But also, I mean, the over-under on Jeremy using all six picks, I'd put it at 3. I could see him – think of what players go for. I mean, if you had 2 first-round picks, not only, like, in a future draft, but, like, in the draft that's, like, in a couple of days, you know how the value spikes towards the closer we get to the draft? I mean, he could get
– Always does, yeah.
Well, he could get some nice players with those. So that's where I'd put the over under at 3. I bet he uses 3 of those first round picks. I bet he trades the other 3.
Yeah, or packages a couple later ones to move up yet again, like high in the first round, and just walk out of there with like 3 top tier draft assets or something like that. So, yeah, it's fun to think about. He's positioned himself certainly better than any other governor has going into the 24 class this year. I mean, he's done in the first round what Canute did in the second round last year of cornering the market. So good on you, Jeremy. And it'll be fun to see what happens here.
Yeah, pretty fun. Yeah, pretty crazy. Yeah. And if Ben wins, it's all for naught. But speaking of Ben winning, we've got some want to talk a little playoffs now? Or is there anything else you want to cover with the bottom gang?
No. Let's get into the real guys, the real competitors.
All right, our top dogs. So the playoffs, I'm sure we've, you know, Pete and Bort. Is it Pete and Bort? Or who was in Canute?
Canute and the champ was on there for about half of it. So
beautiful.
Yeah, let's just flow. If we're having the exact same conversation that they did, I'll divert us. But we've got stuff to chat about. So you drive.
All right, beautiful. Geno Smith just threw an interception here. So I'll start with that. If you kind of know where we are in the night here, third quarter, 2 minutes, 3 minutes left.
Is Seattle still winning, though?
By 1. It's 28-27. Oh. And Geno just threw a pick around, I think it's around midfield. I think it's in their own zone. So yeah.
How are Daddy's prize picks doing?
Oh, and guess who it was? Bland. He didn't take it to the house, but it's another pick for him. Goodness.
Man.
Unreal.
Wild.
So, playoffs. They're all but locked in. We've got – so the players are locked in. Their positions are not. So, Jonathan, the commish, leading the way with 31 victory points. Ben and Chris with 29. Ben is ahead in points by about 33. Dan Krause is following up with 27, and then Bort with 25, and then Canute, and then myself, both with 20. Canute having about a 32-point lead on me. So those leads between the top 2 playoff spots without a bye and the last 2 playoff spots are both about 32, 33 points. So real close in points there, kind of fun.
So Canute felt pretty strongly that you were going to pass him. Do you feel the same?
No, not necessarily. It looks like so what I say, 32 points. It's honestly, it's kind of up in the air. And I had thought about for a second about maybe just trying to lose this week and trying to line myself up against Ben and taking him on right away. But I decided against that. I'm going to put a full lineup out there.
The other thing to that is, like you said, Chris is basically just got to outscore Ben by 15 points over the next, you know, each of the next 2 weeks, and he's going to pass Ben should all things, you know, else remain equal. And so you could play that game this week and then like end up finding yourself against, you know, somebody other than Ben. And, you know, Chris has got a strong, you know, hot team that's coming together and scoring lots lately. So yeah, hard to play that game without knowing for certain that you'd have a shot to be the Giant Slayer. So I think it makes sense to just play your best ball and not take a losing mentality into the playoffs, even if it is just fantasy.
Yeah, and this, and then looking into it a little more, yeah, it only confirmed my decision because, like you just said, it, my osseo math found that it was about 16 and a half points per week is what Chris needs to catch up with Ben. So if he's, if he can beat Ben by 20 points, I know he's not playing him this week, but you know, in the non head to head, if he passed, if he came up 20 points, and then 20 points again, you know, that's a lot. But so 16 and a half is what it's at. He needs per week to catch up with Ben.
And Ben is down Dobbs this week from the bye, but maybe indefinitely if the Vikes turn away from him. So like there's a chance that that Ben's starting lineup output is down from where it's been over this really hot stretch in the middle of the season, you know, particularly because of his strong wide receiver core. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens on the points front if there are not any surprise upsets from those top contending teams over the final. Well, I guess you tell me this: are there any matchups between playoff teams taking place this week?
Yes, and it's somewhat important. It would be Bort and Dan Krause. So they're playing each other this week, and they're also, from what I could tell, guaranteed to play each other week 15. So the only thing is it would change is their positioning. So it would change who they play if they were to win. You know, whoever wins, you know, it changes who they play next because it would change their seeding. And this is
a reseed. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, so pretty inconsequential. Like the seeding there will change, but the matchup wouldn't change. So all the other playoff teams are playing non-playoff teams. So we'd have to have a major upset there for significant seeding shakeup there, aside from the tiebreaker points matchups that you called out. Interesting. All right. Well, yes. I certainly am hoping that I can take care of business with Mark. He's got like everybody coming off of IR this week, and I don't know how many of them will actually suit up on Sunday. But if I do, I guess again, everybody's that, you know, is in current position needs to be a top half finisher in rivalry week to maintain that, because everything else is so close. But I sure want to do everything I can. And frankly, we can talk about the specifics of the trade whenever, but I wanted to wait to pull the trigger on Kyler until after this week, because I didn't want to risk trading for an injured quarterback should something go wrong this week and, you know, put all my chips on a player that then I can't even use in the playoffs. But I felt strongly enough that I needed to do everything I can to solidify winning this week against Mark, who's trying to make sure that I fend off Ben there and score as many points as I can should it come down to a tiebreaker if victory points were equal otherwise. So anyways, there was definitely some timing incentives around making that deal a little bit ahead of schedule there.
Yeah. The only other game that really has implications, and it has implications in the draft and the playoffs, is Josh and Canute. So if Josh were to upset Canute, Jeremy would jump up to that fourth spot in the draft. So he would have 2, 3, and 4. And then Canute and I would flip. So then I would pass him that way. But I'm not sure what, maybe Canute pointed out a point that I didn't catch, because other than that, if that doesn't happen, I think I stay below Canute. I'm not sure how I jump him if he doesn't win this week. I guess he could if I get in the top half and he doesn't, I think is the other scenario. So if he wins but doesn't get top half and I win and get top half, I would pass him, I suppose.
Yeah. Could have just been good old Southwestern Minnesota humble Canute there, but I'm not sure. It sounded like he was being quite kind about the recent performance of your team and thinking that you're on the up and up. So, anyways, it sounds you're like
you call set it the out. Record but, I'll set the record. Canute's going to be in that. He's going to finish on top of me, which is just where I like him.
Ooh. No comment.
Yeah, that's fine. He knows what I'm talking about. He remembers. The most likely scenario for playoffs then would be Ben playing me in week 15, Chris playing Canute, and Bort playing Dan. That's the most likely. The second most likely scenario would be Ben playing Canute, so us flipping. That's really the only thing that would change. So I'd play Chris, still Bort and Dan with you getting the bye. You want to hear two kind of wild scenarios that, you know, are still very possible that we kind of already alluded to?
Yeah.
It would be so Ben falling to the third spot and Chris jumping him in points. So we kind of already talked about that. So not much changes matchup wise, but the seeding would change in that. So it would still be Chris and Ben playing Canute and myself. It's just where the seeding lies. And then, you know, obviously it would be a little tougher road for Ben to end the league if he was in that third spot.
Well, then the winner of Bort and Dan would go through Ben, right? Rather than you or Canute, because you'd play the higher seed, which would be me, I'm assuming.
Yes, so you'd be the high. You would play the winner, obviously, of the last seed. Again, it could be any four of us at this point. It would be Canute or myself. Canute or myself. Well, not necessarily. Yeah, I guess. Sorry. So it could be any four of us that you would play. No, yeah. I take that. Yeah, it would be Bort or Dan.
Whatever gives Ben the hardest path to repeat victory, I am the most excited about. So dream away.
There you go. So that could be Bort dropping to that, or Ben dropping to that third spot. Another thing that could happen is Chris jumps Ben and you in points and takes over the number one seed. That's still a possibility. Commish, you would have to lose to Mark.
Well, I don't know. Even if I beat Mark and if I don't get top half next week, I only have a 2 victory point lead on the guys right now. So if I don't get those 3 next week, I fall below them. We're not even in tiebreaker scenario. Should we all take care of business this week? So a lot will come down to rivalry week, no matter what.
Finished in the top 10 at all this year?
I missed it once or twice, but yeah, I think at this point in the season, it's more likely that I get the overall top score than don't get a top half. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. To your point, it's maybe more likely, while still not likely, that Mark would beat me this week. So again, I hope I don't have to think about it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much what I got. To recap, Bort and Dan, they will see each other in week 15. Ben could drop to the number 3 seed, but it would take Chris topping him in points. Let's see, 2 and 3 seeds will play Canute and myself. And then, yeah, the mug week will more than likely just be for mugs. I don't think it'll really have an implication. Like you said, unless something wild happens and somebody's team gets really beat up at the top that we didn't expect. Like, you know, if you'd somehow finished out in the top 10, things could get spicy, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah. And mug week will be for mugs for playoff teams, but for non-playoff teams, especially as I think about like Matt and Jeremy, both guys that have been trying to tank, somebody's going to walk out of that matchup with 3 victory points. And I think they each own their picks. And so neither of them want that. I don't know if that is the ability to swing draft order significantly, but that'll be definitely an interesting one to watch.
Sure.
Well, what else you got for us?
I was just looking to see who's got Charbonnet right now on their roster.
Peter does, and he's playing him.
Oh, he is. Okay, never mind. He just had a nice run. I thought he'd been, but he's still only got 11 fantasy points right now. Nothing huge, but so hey, man, look at us making trades. That was fun.
Yep. Did we make a trade? We haven't made a trade yet, but I'd sure like to. Did you make trades this week?
I know you'd like to. You've been sending me cute videos of your daughter begging me, and I almost just sent him over for nothing.
It's been fun this year. Mackenzie, who's 4, is like very interested in football. And I think part of it is just because she doesn't get to watch a lot of TV, so she gets to watch football with me, and that's fun for her. And then like she gets to see the excitement, and yeah, part of it is like athletics and competitions, and I think she gets it. But this year I kind of introduced her to like fantasy, like, hey, why is dad watching his phone when the TV's on? And So she's she started to realize, like, hey, we like the Vikings and all these other players, and you know, we get extra excited when those guys score. And so her recall on these guys' names is very funny. You know, she knows everybody's name, and not like our league mates, but my team's players. And so you know, going around the house saying, like, hey, Dad, you know, is Jonathan Taylor going to play this week, or is he still injured? And, you know, are you going to trade Bijan Robinson for a tight end? Because you really need a tight end. And, like, those types of conversations, like, they're just – they. It's just such a surprise to hear out of my little girl's mouth. So, anyways, it's fun. And I will continue to leverage her sweet face and video production skills to try to make trade offers.
Yeah, it's low, but I don't expect anything else out of you. Yeah.
No, but seriously, did I miss a trade that you made this week? You said we've been making trades, or are you just referring to my deal with Kyler?
No, yeah, you've been pretty busy apparently. I traded the guy that you just traded to me, Keaton Mitchell.
Oh yeah,
and a first and a second for Debo and a current third. So
yeah, so we got the Peter side of that deal in their pod, and everybody really liked it for Peter. General take was get out on Debo before it's too late. But let's hear from your side, your thoughts, because particularly on Keaton Mitchell, because I know that when you got him for me, he was a pretty important, you know, not just a throw in type of player. So what are you thinking?
Yeah, I like it for Pete too. Everyone in this league should know by now, I love to overpay for players. I do not mind overpaying for a guy in the right situation at the right time, and that's what Debo was for me. I think I said this the last time we were on. I know where I stand in our ratings, right? There's most people will say, "Oh, it would be a good story if I were to win or whatever," which is because that must mean I'm on the bottom. DK Metcalf just scored again, so Chris is on fire. Metcalf must be at almost 40 points.
That helps him close the gap on Ben, huh?
There you go. Good point. That's good for the league. Gotta love it. I like the trade. I like the trade for Pete. I know I overpaid, which I'm okay with it. I was trying. I don't know if Pete mentioned this. I was trying to get rid of 2 seconds and a first, and because I did want to keep Keaton Mitchell, but. At the end of the day, he's an undrafted free agent. Those guys are rare to stick around. I've got one right now with Jaylen Warren. The chance of lightning striking twice, I'm just kind of saying probably not. He's extremely fast, and I like that about him. He hits the hole well. But coming up on the end of the year, I could see his value dropping as soon as Baltimore drafts another running back, which in 7 rounds, I would imagine they're going to take one or two. So that's kind of my thought there was he's a little more than a dart throw, a good dart throw, Keaton Mitchell is. It was my 2026 first-round pick, so it's a far away first-round pick. And I got a player right here, right now, for a playoff team that I've got that I want to try to win. I think that if my team plays well, I can win. And getting Debo in there, in a spot where I would have liked to see Jerry Jeudy, it was kind of my thought. Jeudy obviously is not panning out for me, so he's on the bench, you know, and that's where he's going to stay. I can't trade him because his value is so low, and I can't start him because he's so bad right now in this Denver team. So I'm like, you know what? There was some other players around the same age as Debo, and then I actually when I was just kind of scrolling teams, and I saw Debo, and I'm like, this could be the perfect scenario. You know, Pete is out. He doesn't need an old guy. So I had no problem overpaying to get it done. So, I'm happy.
So did you reach out to him before he, like, put Debo on the public trade block? Did that, like, initiate his movement there? I figured you were just responding to that.
No, he put him on the block after I messaged him. It was funny because I actually didn't see that Debo was on the block until after we completed the trade altogether. And I kind of chuckled to myself. But I'm like, I was good to see because I've almost done that too. And I've always been like, that's kind of a dick move. But I didn't feel bad when he So now I'll probably start doing that because that was a good – because why not? That's the thought I had today when I saw Kyler was gone. I'm like, that seems like a guy you should put on the trade block. But again, more power. We don't need to get into that yet. I can't remember where I was going with that. But yeah, no.
No, Pete, I mean, I was curious because I Debo's not a guy I would have gone after. So I didn't know if like you were sitting there with the ammo of a first, second, and a a fun little gad, toy player. And then he says Debo's for sale, and you're like, "Oh, I'll do it." But knowing that Debo was the guy you were after, and you actually the one who sparked him being there, that makes me feel better about it for you. Again, I'm sure. Down on Debo, but just because of the busyness that is the Niners' mouths to feed, and it's some recency bias undoubtedly too, because like we're probably a few years now removed, but like. In our recent fantasy lifetimes, Debo Samuel was the number one overall scoring wide receiver. And like it was before Ayuk was popping off and before they had McCaffrey, but like their running backs are still scoring points. Kittle was still a top 10. So like that's possible, right? And if he's healthy and getting looks, like he can definitely be a very valuable wide receiver in your lineup. So I like to move for both sides.
Yeah, and two other things with Debo. One, my thought is, I just totally made this up, but it's called follow the money. I just made that up off the top of my head. I thought of that, but yeah, I just try to follow the money, and San Francisco gave Debo a lot of money. So, I kind of thought the same way with Hockenson. It was just, again, I don't know how I came up with this stuff, but so I like that about Debo. And then two, if you look at his game log from this year, I mean, week 2 and 3, he scored 21 points and 26 points against Arizona. For some reason, he scored less than 1 point. So I'm not really sure what happened there. And then he played Dallas, an incredible defense, and only scored 11. Then he got hurt against Cleveland. So he only scored one. And then so he missed two games by week, 15 points, 9 points, 22 points. So he's still very productive. And as the Niners are getting into the crunch time of their season and they want to win games, they're going to give it to the guys who they're paying the big bucks to. That's what I'm hoping. That's why I paid for. It was all for this year's playoffs. And yeah. And he'll still be good next year. So
that's makes what sense. I'm thinking. So does that then have you in a position like where you feel like you've got your lineup finalized for the playoffs, or you don't have to spill all the juicy details, but are there still moves that you'd like to make prior to the playoffs?
Yep. Good question. Yeah. I don't mind. I feel pretty good. I've still been kind of dipping my toes in the water on a couple of guys just to see, but I'm not willing to overpay anymore. Like I overpaid for Pete. You can only do that so many times before it starts, comes back to bite you. So I know, yeah, if I don't win it all this year, I don't want to have gone 100% all in like you probably should. And you probably are trying to do with your team. I'm not in that spot. I'm still at the bottom. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least there's a playoff spot for number 7 this year. So, is running back that area of need for you right now, or what's the hole that you'd be looking to potentially bolster?
What do I need to get rid of Hockenson, you mean?
Well, yeah, since you bring it up, let's just get into it. I need a tight end to collect all my starting lineup Infinity Stones here, and I'm gonna overpay to somebody, and I've got like four of the hottest running back names in Dynasty, so I'm willing to move somebody in order to improve that part of my lineup. You know this. You asked for Bijan straight up. I said, that's preposterous. Nobody has those two that close in rankings. But here we are still talking because I made the move to sell a quarterback I like more than Kyler Murray for Kyler Murray today because I really want to win this year. And I don't know if I've ever won a fantasy football championship. Like if I did, it was, 15 years ago. And I've forgotten it. I don't remember. I don't remember that glory. If it happened, that probably means it's never happened. The closest I've been was the very first year of The Empire Strikes Back when I lost by 0.2 points to Chris. And so I've not been back to a championship game since. I've watched owners like Mark win two. I've watched Ben win two. I've watched Chris win three. I've watched Jeremy nearly win two. Handful of other owners. And what a lot of those guys have in common is taking their shot when it's time. And so I'm very much trying to go all in, even if that means now sacrificing what I think to be better long-term dynasty value for the sake of pieces that can help me win now, because this is as close and as strong of a win now window I have, both for the fact that I'm in first place, I have a shot at the bye week, as well as I have some top tier assets like McCaffrey and Tyreek that won't be doing it forever, but might for the next year and a half, and you know, get me to a chance to be able to run this thing back. So all that to say, I am willing to overpay for a tight end, and Dan Crousey has been holding Kelsey tighter than Kelsey has been holding Taylor Swift. And I'd like to find a move. So if you're in the running back market, we should make a deal.
I think I already got a running back from you. I think I'm set.
I think you just traded that Keaton Mitchell away, though.
DeAndre Swift is still sitting nice and pretty with a beautiful
play. Oh, yeah. I forgot about all those RB1s I had, but I've got some better ones, you know, and Swift is not under contract next year. You don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know. I feel like you might need a little something. And you know what? Because you're one of my oldest and best friends, I would even add Taysom Hill to my running back offer, who happens to be like tight end 6 or 7 on the year or something like that, because he just scores in every way possible. I don't know. I think that I think there's a deal for us to work out here.
Sure. So Bijan and Taysom Hill for Hockenson, huh?
well, no. We went from no way can we do it straight up to me adding to it. I don't think I quite like that, but there's probably a path here somewhere. So I don't know. Maybe we won't figure it out live on the air, but I'm not going to stop bugging you for the next week and a half
on that one.
Yeah. All right. Should we talk quick, Kyler? Did you have anything else that you wanted to chat about today?
Yeah. You probably covered a little bit of it already. I thought it was a fine trade. I wonder if Josh would have, maybe he shopped him around. I didn't get invited, but I didn't have the pieces for him. So I'm not butthurt or anything. I just was surprised that I didn't know that he was willing to trade Kyler and then he was gone. So I that's a guy I would expect to be on the trade block, but Richardson has shown he's going to be more in like, you know, he can be a fantasy stud. So as long as he can stay healthy, as long as he can protect the ball, we haven't really seen enough of him to know if he could do that and stay in the NFL. He'll be fine. He's going to be an incredible fantasy player. Can he be a great NFL player and stay on the field? I guess is the question with him. Would you agree with Richardson, someone who traded him away?
Yeah, I like Richardson more than Kyler, and I've told Josh as much, and I said I will trade you Kyler back in the offseason to get my guy back. That's how I'm feeling right now. Now, I'm not a huge Kyler fan, but since he's come back, he's consistently scored right around 20 fantasy points, and I've been getting closer to like 10 from Levis in my super flex position. So for me, this was like a move, and believe me, I exhausted every other type of top tier or even like second tier quarterback that I could go trade for, and I felt like this was the best option available to me. So like I had hoped that, again, because I feel like I like Richardson more than Kyler, that I could have made a one for one swap, but given my somewhat desperation to go all in here, and the understanding that I'm trading a young but relatively unproven high upside commodity that's injured for somebody that's healthy, and has proven it. You know, Kyler has been QB one before. And so like I said, I don't love him. He's been inconsistent. I think on a points per game average this season. So he's got a limited sample set, but he's the number six quarterback on the year. So like, I'll take that. Certainly, like I said, the biggest thing for me was I'm going from 10 to 20 points consistently in my super flex. That's basically like I added in, you know, another position player to my lineup that's already, you know, a top scorer each week. So felt like it was a move I needed to make. And I've been pretty open about wanting to go solidify the tight end spot, but really like where my team's at right now. Felt like the overpay was worth it, and I didn't want to wait. Not only I mentioned earlier, like the timing to go get it done before this week to do my best to beat Mark, but also I know that, you know, Ben is probably out there thinking, "Hey, I'm down Cousins now, maybe down Dobbs," and he might be willing to make, you know, a similar type trade that I just offered to Josh for Kyler. So I just wanted to make sure that I preempted that as well. So that's kind of where my head was at.
Did you look at Kyler Murray's playoff schedule before making the trade?
I did. I couldn't tell you who he's playing now, but it wasn't all red. Does he have the Cowboys or somebody just terrifying?
A little bit, but I mean, if you're assuming, I'm sure you never assume, but if you're assuming that you've got a bye week in week one, then you're pretty safe because he's playing San Francisco in week 15. So if you needed any more encouragement to try to lock in that bye, that would be a good one because that's going to be a tough matchup. Week 16, he plays Chicago. So you're looking pretty good there. Week 17, so it would be your championship week, he's playing Philly. Pretty solid pass rush. Yeah.
So, which might put him outside the pocket and running around. So, yeah, I mean, there's obviously defensive, like, you know, rankings and strength of schedule ratings for a reason. Those good defenses probably do slow down QBs. But I took a peek at it. I didn't see all red, and I was ready to go all in. Certainly better than straight green for Will Levis. So I'll take Kyler and red matchups any day of the week. So, yeah, man, that was my thought. I think it, you know, was a good move for Josh as well. He got more than I was willing to entertain a couple weeks ago for it, but came time to make a move, and I gave him what he asked for. So he drove a hard bargain and stood pretty firm on his ask, and he ultimately got it. So congrats to Josh.
Yep. Yeah, 100%.
All right. Well, I can't wait to pry TJ Hockenson out of your hands. But I'll continue to get creative in the ways that I do so. But until next time, I'll keep those trade offers in texts with more video messages from the kiddo.
Yeah, that sounds good. I've fallen in love with Hawk, but I had fallen in love with Waddle, and that's exactly the trade I made it for. So,
Bijan Robinson's pretty easy to fall in love with when you see him as the number one rated player in every ranking. So, you can find new love. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It can happen. That tight end position is just hard to fill. So we'll see. But before we go, we've got current update. DK Metcalf is at 38.4 points in the with 9 minutes left. And he's probably looking for him right here. And he's going to get sacked. So, yeah, man,
looks,
good talk.
Looks like CD's having a good night, though, too. Ben's off to a hot start with his Cowboys. He's got 38 points, albeit spread out across two players. So, anyways, pretty hot start. There was no doubt that he was going to take care of business against Jeremy. So it's more the points watch, and right now Chris has got the early lead from a projection standpoint. So it'll be fun to see how this week and certainly next week shape up here.
Yeah, hey, he's projected to beat Ben by 20 points as of right now. So that would set him on a good pace for next week to take over that spot, which would, yeah, again, be huge for the league, bad for Ben.
I like to hear it. Love Ben. Don't love reigning champs going into the playoffs strong. So until it's me next year. So, all right. Well, this has been fun. I'm glad I could make yet another drive across Nashville for Facebook Marketplace. Happy wife, happy life delivery here. So perfect timing to pod here. Always good.
I hope that Ben is enjoying all the hate. I wish I was being hated this much. I think he's loving it. I hope he is.
Yeah. We would all trade our current positions to be where he's at. Current champ with the shot to Rito. I know I would. And I'm already thinking like, hey, if I think I can win this year, like what are the trades I need to make now for next year, knowing nobody will want to trade? We'll see. Bring for everybody as it comes to the trade deadline, some people going all in and people looking forward to the draft. But it's a fun time of year, no matter if you're in or out, as long as you're out and you have some draft picks. So anyways, we love fantasy.
Love it. Yeah, it's been fun. All right, man, thanks for chatting.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, man. Bye. See ya.